We've got a new podcast that will help you get hockey smart. The Crosscheck Podcast, hosted by Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark, goes deeper into NHL stories than any other podcast with the help of the smartest minds on the ice. Follow the Crosscheck Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
You're Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL Podcast, your Tuesday edition of the show. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. Mike, how are you doing on this fine Tuesday?
I'm doing fantastic, Joe. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Season's winding down. I'm ready for playoff time.
For playoffs?
Listen, we're at the what's become all too normal for the Sabres, where it's, oh, the feel-good story at the end of the year, where a guy who shouldn't really be in the NHL is in the NHL, and we all feel good for him, and that's where all the positive energy goes. But
actually, can we start on that? Can we start on that real quick while we're on it? So, because I think that was actually a really good story, as much as, you know, you may want to, like, joke about it. Like, Michael Hauser was in the Sabres organization for, like, a few years, putting around the ECHL, and then got signed literally just as, like, a numbers thing because they needed a goalie to kind of just throw on their practice roster. And they just, for whatever reason, didn't want to put Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen on it earlier in the year. They wanted to get some games down in Rochester. And then all of a sudden, I don't know how he ended up actually playing a game for the Buffalo Sabres. That's where, you know, you can enlighten me on this. But then, Joe, he actually won last night against a playoff-ready New York Islanders squad. Like, that's got to be a nice little, you know, fairy tale ending on a pretty garbage season for Buffalo.
I think so. Yeah, it is. Like, yeah, right. I can joke about it. And, like, even Rasmus Ristolainen said that, you know, we don't want to be the team that has special wins down the stretch because they're so rare. Like, he said something to that effect. But the story itself is awesome. Like, Michael Hauser's been bouncing around in the ECHL for years. He's never even really been an AHL goaltender. I think he's only got 8 career AHL starts, and 6 of them came in the 2015-16 season. So it was a while ago, even when he got his little crack in the AHL. So yeah, you're right. Like, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is like the star Sabre goalie prospect in the minors, and they didn't really want to have him just sitting and practicing all season. They wanted him getting games in the AHL, which seems fair. Considering the taxi squad goalie is pretty much just going to be sitting there and practicing all season. So they signed Michael Hauser to do this, considering there was no ECHL this season. So just a bunch of injuries, though. Ullmark gets hurt, and Carter Hutton gets hurt, and Dustin Tokarski gets hurt, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen gets hurt. And this is all after they traded Jonas Johansson, who was also starting games for them earlier in the season. They traded him to Colorado. So Hauser was like the 6th man in the rotation, but they needed the 6th man in the rotation, which tied a Sabre record for the most goalies used in one season, by the way, and it's come in a 56-game season. So it was a good story because, yeah, like, this guy, again, didn't even really play much in the AHL, and last night, like, I mean, you could tell me this from, obviously, the Zamboni driver last year. Like, he it's kind of funny how he didn't look as out of place as I feel like he should have. I'll just say that.
Well, he was a good goalie. I remember watching him in junior, like before he you know, started his pro career. I was you know, being in Niagara, a big time Niagara fan. I remember one playoffs. I think it was like the Eastern Conference Finals, I believe, or maybe it was even could have even been the final in the OHL Finals. And Michael Hauser was a beast, and was the only reason why Niagara, who had a solid team, had the Hamilton brothers, Ryan Strome, Carter Verhaeghe. They had a real solid squad, but they couldn't beat Michael Hauser. And I remember one game down in St. Catharines when they were playing, everybody kept cheering in behind the net when Hauser was in there. You know, Hauser, Hauser, like the classic goalie chant, trying to throw him off his game. And he just, like, unfazed, absolutely unfazed, was stopping absolutely everything, and led the Knights. I think they ended up winning the Memorial Cup that year. So, you know, Michael Hauser was a real solid goalie prospect coming out of junior. And then for whatever reason, just, you know, goalies are voodoo. They just didn't find his game once he got to the pro level. But it was nice kind of story to see that he eventually found his way into an NHL game and actually got the victory. And from the sounds of it, like, he was being peppered early on and kind of, you know, just kind of stood on his head, made what, 34 stops?
I thought I had 34, you're right. Yeah,
34 stops last night and got a 4-2 win for the Sabres, kept them into it. And then Buffalo came in, you know, took the lead and ended up winning the game in the third period. So real nice story on what's been a pretty crap season for Buffalo.
Yep, that's putting it lightly for sure. Other things we'll get to on today's episode. Of course, we're going to talk about Tom Wilson. I mean, the incident itself against the New York Rangers, the fine that was levied down, the lack of suspension. We're going to get into that probably the whole second half of today's episode. We're going through some of the playoff matchups in the North and in the East Division, that the potential playoff matchups that we could see, as both divisions are pretty much locked up now in terms of the four teams that are going to make it. Now it's all about seeding. And then at the top here, right after Hauser, Connor McDavid's 100-point chase. Talked a bunch about it last week. He, after another incredible week of hockey, a 4-point game in his most recent affair, which I think was last night, wasn't it? Yeah, against the Vancouver Canucks. Two goals and two assists. That followed a 3-point performance against Calgary the night before. He now needs 9 points in his final 6 games to get to a 100-point pace in 56 games. That would top Mario Lemieux, or I think even match Mario Lemieux, for the highest points per game total in the last 25 years in a single season. Like, he is putting up Lemieux Jagr numbers, like stuff we haven't seen since the mid-90s. And it's freaking incredible from McDavid.
At that point, like, teams were scoring 8, 7, 8, 9 goals a game, right?
Like, the goalies didn't know how to goaltend.
No, and the fact that he's doing it in this era just makes it, like, just insanely special, I think. And in a COVID year at that, where everything's just kind of going sideways, McDavid said, I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm still going to go out there and prove that I'm the best in the world. And Joe, I think he's going to get there. I think he's going to do it. We spoke about it a little bit last week, and I was like, I don't know, 100 points, that's quite a bit. Because I think he still needed, what, like 19 points in like 9 games or something like that at the time, maybe 10. And I'm like, I don't know, like that's quite a bit. More than 2 points a game seems a little bit rich. But all he's done over the last little bit is score. Like, 4 points tonight, had a 4-point game a couple of nights ago. Like, at this point, he's going to do it. 100% he's going to do it. And it's funny, he said that he's not, you know, he doesn't have that 100-point kind of mark on his mind. And it's just, he's just playing to try and win for the team. That's absolute BS. This guy knows he is so close to making history, and he wants to do it. And he's Connor freaking McDavid. He's going to do it. Like, he is that good that if he puts his mind to something, there's nobody else in the league, there's nobody else in the world that can stop him from splitting the D and putting the puck where he wants. He's going to do it.
Yeah. No, I think he is too. You're right. Like, there's something to, like, I feel like you could very easily say, well, why wouldn't he be trying his best on every shift to get as many points as he can, right? Well, I think you're right. Like, when you have that goal in your head, like, it's in the front of your mind every time you're on the ice, every single stride you take, it's like 100 points, 100 points. Like, I know it's an awful example because it's beer league hockey, but a couple years ago, there was a year where I was approaching 50 goals in a season for our beer league team. And I'm not kidding you, for like a month, I knew, like, I might get to 50 goals here. And what every blessed. Single time I stepped on the ice, I'm like, all right, I got to shoot this because I'm going to get to 50 goals. You know, like, every time going in, like, to play that night, I was like, again, it's stupid, it's beer league, but just thinking like 50 goals, like that, having that number in your head could really drive you. And I can only imagine for McDavid, something like that can just be 1,000 times like what I would have experienced. So I think he's going to get it too. I think 100%. I thought I would have bet on him to do it even last week. I think we were kind of both a little bit on the fence because it was a big number that he needed to get.
Yeah.
But rattling off 7 points in his last 2 games made it a whole hell of a lot easier. My only question would be, would Edmonton decide to sit him down?
Not
towards the end of the season. You don't think there's any chance?
Okay. Not a chance. He wouldn't want to either.
Because, man, they are locked into that 2 seed.
They are. Well, yeah, they are locked in, and they just technically yesterday clinched the playoffs with the win over Vancouver. But there's not a chance that that he would even approve of that. Like, he's good. He would legitimately look at Dave Tippett and be like, yeah, no, I'm playing tonight. Sorry, pal.
This ain't like, the NBA. This ain't the NBA.
Yeah, this ain't the NBA. I can play every night. I'm not a little sissy pants. I'm going to be out there. Probably going to score a couple of goals, end of the night with 4 points, and make sure I reach my 100 mark. Now, if he gets to 100 before the season's done, maybe, but even then, I doubt it. Like, I really do doubt it, because he's just a gamer, man. Like, this guy is an absolute gamer, and he's not going to come out of the lineup unless he's injured. And, you know, the way that he plays, he doesn't put himself in bad situations because, no one can catch him because he's fast as hell. And he's just, like, super smart. He doesn't get himself into the bad areas. And if he does it skillfully and real quickly and doesn't get hurt.
Stay right there. When we come back on the Locked On NHL podcast, me and Mike are going to go through some of the potential playoff matchups in both the North Division and the East Division in the NHL. That's right after this. Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized for you in just minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25 advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. This episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano talking about some potential playoff matchups in the NHL.
It's a good time to transition to potential playoff matchups we could see, as we're only a couple weeks away from the start of the postseason. It was a foregone conclusion, and it seemed for maybe even months that Edmonton and Winnipeg were going to meet in the first round of the playoffs, and it would probably be Toronto and Montreal, which I was excited for because I haven't looked this up in a few weeks. I'm like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think 79 is the last time we saw Toronto Montreal in the playoff series.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I was excited for that. And like, I like Edmonton. I like watching Winnipeg play, but Winnipeg has lost 7 straight in regulation, and Montreal's not playing amazing, but they have won 3 in a row, to the point now where they are tied at 57 points in 51 games with the Winnipeg Jets for third place. Winnipeg does have the tiebreaker. They will have the tiebreaker, so Montreal will have to come on top of them in terms of total points over the last 5 games of the season. I mean, Mike, is Montreal going to really, after all of this time thinking it would be Winnipeg and Edmonton, is it going to be Montreal and Edmonton?
I'm going to quickly take a look at the schedule because I know they play Toronto twice still. Yeah, so they play
and
Toronto
then they play twice. Edmonton in their final two.
Yeah, so they've got Toronto twice, Edmonton twice, and they got the Senators tomorrow. So they probably, you know, have a chance to get those 2 points against the Senators. It's going to be tough to beat the Maple Leafs at this point. Then obviously the Oilers playing the way that they're playing, and McDavid's going to be on his race for 100 in those games, most likely. So he's going to be like a man on a mission. So I don't know if they'll actually be able to complete the comeback. It's just the schedule is not conducive for it, to be quite honest with you. It's been a nice little story that they've been able to get themselves back in it. But Winnipeg, for me, I think they got a little bit of an easier stretch. Like, they got the Flames, the Sens, a couple games against the Canucks, and then they got one final game against Toronto. But the Canucks haven't played well. The Flames haven't played well. The Senators actually have been playing really good hockey lately. So, you know, that's not a walk in the park by any means. But I think that there's more winnable games here for Winnipeg down the stretch than there is for Montreal.
Yeah.
Assuming they get their act together. I mean, they've lost seven in regulation, so including against Ottawa the other night as well. So, I mean, they got to start winning games. And the roster is just too good to stay on this funk. I know yesterday a couple of guys said that they were trending in the right direction. They were seeing some things on the ice that they liked that they were doing, just getting some bad puck luck, the puck just not finding the back of the net. But eventually it's going to happen. Like, you got guys like Kyle Connor, Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, Neil Pionk. Like, they've got some real gamers who can score.
Yeah.
And it's just not happening for them right now. And I wonder if also, you know, the loss of Nick Ehlers, how much more that meant to this team than we thought. Because since he's been out, this team has really struggled.
Exactly. It, real quick, if you're Toronto right now, who would you rather play first round, Winnipeg or Montreal?
Ooh, probably. Oh, man.
It's a tough one because of how the Jets have looked.
It's a tough one because they just lost to Montreal last night. Right. Like, you're drawing and lose to Montreal yesterday, I probably would have went with the Habs just because I don't think they have as good a roster as Winnipeg does. Yep. But Winnipeg, and especially if they have like a 50% Nick Ehlers, like when he comes back, if he's not 100%, then honestly, maybe Winnipeg. And Toronto's played Winnipeg really well this season. Whatever reason, they've kind of just had their number a little bit. But at the end of the day, like, I'm also really scared of Connor Hellebuck what he can do, when he flips the switch. So probably Montreal. Really, I think I would still rather play the Habs.
I think I agree. Yeah, and then over in the East Division, anyone could still finish first, even though there's only a few games left. Washington and Pittsburgh both at 71 points. Washington in 52 games, Pittsburgh in 53. Boston's at 68 points in 51 games played, and the Islanders are at 67 points in 52 games played. So the Islanders would really probably have to win. They probably might have to win out, considering the leapfrog three other teams, if they wanted to finish first. But the story here really is still you could get any playoff matchup. Any combination of playoff matchups could still happen between those four teams, as the Rangers are now out of it. They're 9 points out. They've been officially eliminated. What do you want to see from the East? I feel like I'm always down for a Washington-Pittsburgh series, and it's been a few years since we've seen that.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what I want to see. So to me, the best case scenario would to be for Boston to kind of win out here and end up coming on top. And then we could get a Boston versus the Islanders series, which I think would also be really good too. You know, tough, rugged teams who play a very structured game. It may not be the most flashiest series, but I think it would be good, just a good close series. And then Washington, Pittsburgh, and that's one's got a lot of history and a lot of pizzazz. And just whenever you can get Crosby versus Ovechkin in a playoff series, you're laughing. Like, that's just good TV. That's just good hockey. So that would be my hope would happen. And I actually think it's possible because, like, Boston, the rest of the way, they got games in hand on the two teams above them in the standings right now. They're down by 3 points, but the Bruins got the Devils tonight. And then a couple of games against the Rangers, who are going to be without Artemi Panarin, which we'll get to why he's going to be out for the rest of the season.
Yep.
And then a game against the Islanders, who haven't been playing that well. And then the final game of the season between the Bruins and Capitals could be with the division crown on the line, which is it's going to be fun. Like, this is going to be a great final week. I think with all of these teams playing their divisions and only divisional games, it makes these races at the top so much more interesting.
Yes, like that's right.
They're all, because every game at this point is played for seeding, and it's almost as if they're like playoff type games already, because they know there's actually something on the line each and every night.
Right. Yeah, hopefully next Tuesday, what, the night of that Bruins Capitals game, we'll be sitting here talking about a preview of a game for the division. Could definitely happen over the next week. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Washington, when we come back, Tom Wilson, just we'll get into it when we come back here in the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano.
A word for Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano. All right, the big story in the NHL, everyone is flipping out about it on Twitter. I think rightfully so. I have been a person who has defended NHL player safety in the past, not every time, but I do think they've gotten a little bit stronger on their punishments in recent years, but that did not happen in any way. It's indefensible to me what happened here with Tom Wilson. If you missed the hit, you just got to go look up the video. I mean, slamming Pavel Buchnevich's head into the ice, holding down his face on the ice, and then throwing a little rabbit punch like in his neck area. Then Artemi Panarin just, you know, being a good teammate, it's hockey, he jumps on Wilson's back to try to get him off him. And then Wilson starts throwing Panarin around. There's a slow motion video you can find of what looks like Wilson pulling Panarin's hair down to the ice as he's punching him and slew footing him all at once. It's like a Matt Cook cocktail in that moment. And then he's flexing in the penalty box. Just like, I mean, just the worst, just the worst. So he gets fined $5,000. And I looked it up on Tom Wilson's salary for this season. His salary this year is $4.1 million, a little bit lower than his cap hit. And that, if you divide that up over 56 game schedule and then divide that by the periods, he makes $25,000 a period. So they basically fined him for one shift. Like, they took his game check from one shift away. And it's indefensible to me. And it was a disgusting act. I don't know what more I need to say about it. I can let you go here, because I don't know. It's so bad. I can't believe, I can believe it. I can't believe it at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, $5,000 is the maximum amount that they're allowed due to the CBA, and that's kind of a issue in its whole, in its own end. The fact that, like, there's a cap of, like, that little amount of money when, you know, you got players now making upwards of, like, $8, $9, $10 million, like, it's nothing. Like, there's so many guys who make so much money, so... Yeah, it's the money aspect is a little jarring to me. I'm like, have we heard anything about it? Like, there's no suspension. It's just a fine.
No, this is it. The last report I saw, which let me see if I can find the exact reporter. I don't have it here, but there was a Capitals reporter that said that this is it. This is all that was coming.
Yeah, I don't like it. Like, I obviously am not a fan of this. Panarin's now out for a while, and Buchnevich, you know, got his head tossed into the ice. I thought there should have been a suspension. And I know people say, oh, you're only saying that because it's Tom Wilson. Like, if there was somebody else's name on the back of the jersey, like if Mitch Marner did that, would you still be crying out for a suspension? And that's a fair point, because no, I wouldn't be, because he doesn't have a history of being a dirtbag. But Tom Wilson does. And like, clearly the $5,000 fines that he's getting for these outrageous maneuvers that he's doing out there on the ice isn't doing anything. It's not teaching him anything. So, yeah, you do have to go a little above and beyond when it's warranted. And I think that this is an instance where that was just a dirty play. That was just not something that's needed in the game today. And especially everything that we know about, you know, concussion history and you know, heads hitting the ice and how much that can have a long-term effect. Like, you just need to go above and beyond. And I think this should have been – at least
the rest of the regular season,
five games left in the season. Like, maybe give him five games and just kind of, you know, it is what it is. Like, that maybe that's what it'll take to finally get it through his head that you can't just be like a dirtbag out on the ice. Like, I understand you're the big tough guy and there's not many guys in the NHL that can like stand up to you and actually stand a chance. But that doesn't mean you got to be a big bully either. And that's really what he is. And you don't need bullies in hockey.
Right. And then the tweet, too, by the Capitals. I mean, just Jesus.
Oh, I did not see the tweet. What was the tweet?
Let me find it for you. It was a deleted tweet. But it was right after the hit by Tom Wilson. I'm not finding it now. Hold on. I'm going to share it with Mike. You guys can hear his reaction to the tweet in real time.
Ooh. Really?
Right?
Really?
They tweeted that like right after the game. The very tiny print at the bottom says best goal scorer in the league, like Tobias Skates. It's one of those memes where it's like, this is what the head is, this is what the body is, this is what the feet are.
Rent free in people's, like, are you kidding me?
So bad. And of course it was deleted, because holy cow. So bad.
That's awful. Like, there's like injuries here. Like, Panarin's done for the season because he whipped him onto the back of the ice on the back of his head, and you're gonna go out and say we choose violence. It's like, what?
It's so bad. Well, actually, it's part of a point that I saw. I saw Josh Yeo, who covers the Penguins, say up on Twitter this morning. He tweeted, when Matt Cook was officially out of control, Mario Lemieux and Ray Shiro sat him down, told him that he had a problem that he had to change. And that the Capitals just keep pushing the idea that Wilson is a victim, and it's a lack of accountability. Like, I think that's a good point. Like, maybe it does have to come from the team, because, like, you mentioned, like, five-game suspension. Maybe this will finally get it through his head. I don't know. He got suspended for 7 games. I forgot what it was for, 2 months ago. And he's been a repeat offender over and over and over. So
I think he knows, though, that, like, that's his game. And if he's not bringing that to the table, then he's not.
I mean, he is still a good player. Like, he's not. It's not like he's, you know, like a fourth liner. I mean, he's out there scoring 20 goals.
Yeah, but if he's, you know, because that's just second nature to him, right? Just to be a pest and to do all that. If he's like exuding like legitimate energy and thoughts to like tone his game down, is he going to be as effective? Is he going to be able to be so free thinking offensively if that's what's on his mind? You know what I mean? Like, he's just thinking too much. I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And could that affect his psyche and affect his overall game? Like, I think that's where it comes into it for Tom Wilson, where he says, if I'm not doing this, I'm not being myself, I'm not just, you know, reacting organically to what's happening on the ice, then I'm not being the best player that I can be, and that's what I want to do. And I understand that to a point, but, you know, He's been well known as like the dirtiest player in the game for years now. And I don't know how many more instances need to occur here Like, do we need like a Todd Bertuzzi type instance to occur before the league finally says enough is enough with Tom Wilson? Like, I'm not saying that this guy should be tossed out of hockey. Like, I've seen some people suggest, like, that's outrageous. He should not be tossed out of hockey, but at least a suspension and a 5-game suspension without pay. What I mean, the pay doesn't do anything, but like a 5-game suspension, and at least it'll hurt his team to the point where they look at him, especially in a playoff race, and say, look, man, I understand that you feel the need to play this way, but sometimes you need to let off. Like, between the whistles, go for it. But after the whistles, you really got to stop this because it's costing your team now. And maybe that's why they have that sit down that Matt Cook had with ownership. Maybe at that point, they'll have that conversation. Because coming from a Leafs fan, you know, Nazem Kadri got booted out of 2 straight playoff series, which in the opinion of many Leafs fans, cost them those series against the Boston Bruins. Literally cost them those series because they were leading in both and they had a chance to win both series. And then he gets out of the game and all of a sudden that's a brand new series.
Yep.
Brand new series. So I wonder if, you know, this would be totally different and that sit down could happen if there was some other additional form of punishment that not just hurt Wilson and his wallet, because clearly he doesn't care about the wallet, but hurts his teammates. And if that's the only way to get through to him, then I believe that suspension is needed.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Mike is at Mickey_Canuck. We're at Locked On NHL Pods for the podcast account on Twitter. I'll be back with Tom Gazzola on Friday, and me and Mike will rejoin you next Tuesday here on the Locked On NHL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.